So then today we'll continue with the stillings.
今天我们继续讲那个第二弗拉基高注意曲。
Now these explanations here by the commentaries, it is just a presentation. Presentation in different ways. Now, for example, a bhikkhu who steals something, you can present it in different ways under to put in the different categories. Therefore, now sometimes these categories they overlap. We can see that overlapping is there. Now, how to steal by arms and hands and so forth. Sometimes it is under this category, sometimes another category.
Pupava yoga,
like that.
Okay.
So, therefore now you can might see that similarities. Similarities between one category and other category.
然后那个这张总是这样，就是说这个二十五种偷盗的二十五种方式呢，它是用那个不同的方式对这个偷盗对这个偷盗行为进行分析和归类。因为它实际上是用从不同的方式，从不同角度进行分类，所以说它这个它就分类分出这些范畴，可能在有些时候是重叠的。比如说它那个，比方说那个轻手物法里边有个命令的，而是即使命令它是偷取某某财物。再比如说那个前方面物法里边有个前方面里边也包括这种命令，对吧？所以说这个地方它有时候会有点重复，但是它从不同角度说的，我希望大家学习的时候可以理解。
Now these categories have been compiled by the commentaries.By taking the stories from the Parajikapali itself, and try to classify them under this category, the other category, and so on.
他说，但是这样那个二十五种方式，他那个是那个是虽然是在那个在伊护图陀这样的著述里边出现的，但是他本身这些说法的来源是来自那个律藏的那个巴拉基嘎精分比巴拉基嘎那部分，然后他但是律藏里边他只是给出这些不同的那个偷盗方式，他没有具体进行分类，在伊护图陀里边他可以给他进行分类。
So many examples can be found in the Parajika stories. So here.Just briefly mentioned, that's called into a summary. It is summarized everything into this category, the other category. But if one wants to have the real stories, to read the real stories, one has to go and find them in Parajika, in the Pali Canon.
他说这个地方实际上就这地方是他总结的方式，实际上就是那个。律藏里边第二巴拉基嘎那些故事的一个概要，就是那律藏巴拉基嘎它本身是有一个主要的故事，就是开始之间的因缘故事，然后在那个故事后面有很多小故事，然后这里边提到这二十五法，就是那些小故事的一个概要。但大家如果想知道原来那个故事怎么样的话，大家还要看那个律藏里边第二巴拉基嘎那部分。
So here we'll only explain briefly, give some examples how this stealing can take place and other stealing can take place.
这个地方我们只是简短的介绍一下这些方式，然后就是说对每一个方式我们给这个例子，就是那个这些方式是怎样发生的。
So now these categories here, they come very often in the exams, Upasamhita the exams. So it is good to learn them, study them, so then and memorize them, so then one can get good marks for the exams.
江老师这些分类方式那个时候，这些二十五种那个二十五法以及那个五种分类方式那个在接力考试当中经常出现这个考点，所以说如果把这个知识点学好记好，对大家考试取得好成绩很有帮助。
So then, but it is not only for the exams to get good marks in kusala karma, because you can avoid akusala karma, not to steal.
他说这个，他说，但是学习这个东西呢，也不仅仅是能让你在考试当中获得高分，那个同时呢，同时也能在让你在具体业果的性质上面获得高分，因为学习这些东西能让你避免这个偷盗的不善业。
Now regarding the category of the next category, Sahatika Panchaka is called. If you see in video notes.Or some Kankavetarani. Now it is, we'll study this category, Sahatika Panchaka. That is the pentat regarding how to steal pounds on hand and so forth. Now this category, Sahatika, it takes the name from the first, I call a case, which is to steal with one's own hand.
Mm.
But the rest are not to steal with one's own hand, to order and so forth. The other others. Therefore now these categories, as called, take the name from the first case.
Mm.
It is not that all cases involve to steal one's own hand.
Alright,
now, here, if you see it is, Sahatika means to steal by one's own hand. And then in that case now one does not command anybody else. One goes it directly, takes it with one's own hand.
亲手就是指不是通过命令他人，而是自己亲手去盗取。
Now this category can be also like a former category, Tanachaveya. To shift it from one's own place, the parcel, if you shift by the own place, that is also can be done by, it's called, by one's own hand.
然后这个地方可以跟前面那个准种财务法或者一种财务法有一些重叠，比如说那个准种财务法第五条，假如离开原处，那这个事情其实你也可以去通过那个亲手做的事情。
So therefore now, stealing with one's own hand, you can combine with Tanachavana. How to shift it from one's place and so forth, and when the dukkha occurs, and how the dulacha occurs, and how the parajika occurs.
所以说，如果你想判断这个，比方说这个亲手的话，第一法这个亲手的，它到底犯的是那个什么是恶作，是粗罪还是巴拉吉卡的话，你可以参考那个前面那个那个种种财务法的那个第五条，是什么情况恶作，什么情况拉吉卡，什么情况巴拉吉卡。
So the next case is about anatika, is ordering another to steal.
下面是那个命令的意思，就是命令他人去偷。
So in that case, a bhikkhu, he orders somebody else to steal. That means it can be a layman, can be another bhikkhu. So he does not go himself because he doesn't want to, what's called, to be revealed. So he sends some, even I call a layman, a samanera, or a bhikkhu to go and steal it. So that is why actually he also can fall into parajika, but just ordering another person to steal.
然后那个这个就是命令的时候，他就因为这个比库他不想被人发现，所以他那个开始偷取别人的财物。他说他派的这个人可以是居士，可以是上马尼拉，也可以是比库。
And then we have the next is Nisagya. This is to throw an item over the customs border. So then it is, this has to do with smuggling goods. If one goes to the customs border, they check you, what you have in your suitcase. So some months they have very valuable things, for example, many smartphones, and they want to smuggle it to the country. So then they just take the bundle, a parcel of smartphones and what, and they, when the officer does not look, they throw it the other side. So, and then when the officer checks, this monk has nothing with him, he thinks. So then he let the monk go. After the monk goes the other side, he takes the parcel and goes away. That is why stealing can be done by that, by smuggling goods in the customs.
他说这个第三种那个偷窃实际上是一种走私行为，就比方说现在有个出现那个 从国外拿了很多智能手机，然后那个把它包成一个包裹，然后那个海关那个进行检查的时候呢，他包裹一扔过那个海关检查口，然后那个官员来检查，发现他什么东西没有，然后他过去以后他把包裹拿走，然后这个就是那个这个地方说的偷制，就是那个逃税。
So then, this can be done also by having valuable things and telling another lay person, and the bhikkhu tells another lay person, look, I have so many things, you take part of that, so that I will not be charged by the customs, during the customs time. So, and then he sends that lay people in front. He keeps that smartphones, for example, to the lay people, to the layman.
The layman has to pay, no? Huh? The layman has to pay.
But he can smuggle, no? The layman somehow, he keeps part of that.
Gives part of that. To break
device,
the
device. To break the
device into parts.
So that to confuse the officer. He gives part to the layman, and part he keeps himself. So then, but even that part is so much valuable. So that actually he has to pay. But he, in order to avoid paying, he gives one part to the layman. So he tells him, go ahead. And the layman and so forth goes ahead. And then the monk, after he goes from the custom, tells give him back. So then, in order to avoid the custom, that is also smuggling things, avoiding to pay. He has to pay and so forth, and he avoids to pay and so forth by employing another person to carry his goods.
他说还有这种逃税，还有另外一种情况，比方说一个比库拿了一些贵重物品，那个像过海关，然后过海关的时候，他那个在过海关的时候，他提前把那个贵重物品拆成不同的部分，拆成不同的部分，然后把这那个不这不同部分分配给那些居士，分配给和他们一起的居士，然后让居士拿着不同部分过海关，这样可以避税，然后那个过完海关之后呢，他再把这东西重新组合起来，然后这种也一样是那个逃税。
So the next case is Atta Sataka. So that is setting a limit. A limit is called of stealing.
然后 limit means?
A time limit. Setting a time limit in stealing.
Okay. 它是那个第四个获得利益，是指一种有时间限制的盗取命令。
He tells here where no time limit is set in the English.
No time limit is set.
There is something wrong, no? When time, no time limit is set. No, it is. It is no time limit. Exactly, that's correct. Now, example is, when a bhikkhu tells another person, whenever you are able, you go and steal it. So then, and then the other person, if he has no any obstacle, he doesn't encounter any obstacle, he goes and steals it.
He does not encounter
any does obstacle. Not encounter any obstacle, so, and he goes and steals it.
So there's something wrong with the translation. I have to check.
So wait.
Yes. No obstacle. Where is that?
Anantarari.
Hutva. Okay. Then it should be without obstacle, no? Anandariko
without obstacle. Without any obstruction. If the other goes and sees without any obstruction, then it's paratika for the bhikkhu who ordered and the time of ordering, of ordering commanding.
然后大家注意，我们刚才说那个不是有那个时间限制盗取命令，在这儿看差了，看那个那是下面另外一条，然后这个地方不是那个有时间限制盗取命令，然后它是这样，它是那个，但是大家注意这个地方那个密集增长的翻译有个地方有个小错误，就是在那个获得利益那个第二行当中，如果那个人有了障碍而偷取，这个地方不是有了障碍而偷取，而是无障碍而偷取。就是他在偷取过程中没有遇到障碍，然后就偷取了，他是这个意思。他那个不是有了障碍而偷取。
是没有的。
啊，对。
他跟你说是哪个？
获得利益，获得利益。然后这个地方这样，就是说这个笔库呢，他们命令另外一个人，如果你看到那个东西，你就把那个东西偷了。然后这个人在然后这个被笔库命令的人呢，他就真看到那个东西，然后就真的毫无障碍的把那个东西给偷了。那么这个时候，如果当这个东西被偷了以后，我们就说那个这个命令偷东西的这个笔库，在发出那个命令的时候，已经犯了巴拉提了。
发出命令的时候。
从事后角度看，就是说他是前提是你这个东西已经被偷了，但是从事后角度看，他发出命令的时候已经犯了巴拉西法，因为他发出命令就导致这个事情那个被完成，对。
他应该是发出命令已经偷了，他就犯了巴拉西法，如果没偷他就不会犯巴拉西法。
是，如果这个事儿结果是那个都这个都没有被偷，那他也没有犯法。So he's asking that, so he's asking that for example if the good is not stolen finally, then at that moment he's not parajit. The good finally the result that is the good is not stolen. So in that case the commander is not parajit in that case. So
he's not
parajit. So I'm telling him that the book says the commander commits parajit at the moment of commanding. So that is actually a post hoc perspective. No. That means after this
thing. It's not easy. If the other steals it, as called, without being an obstacle, Avahara. Avahara means steals it.
Yes.
So then is the time he fall. That monk fall into Parajika in the time of
commanding
of ordering.
Yes.
Means let's see example. He orders at 11 o'clock noon, and tell the other person. The bhikkhu tells 11 o'clock noon. So go and steal whatever you are able. Now that person, he goes and steals maybe 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the time of stealing, that monk becomes parajika 11 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The time of stealing. Therefore now, we have to regard him as a non-piku from 11 o'clock in the morning, not 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Understand?
Yes.
He becomes a non-piku 11 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So this is how we count it.
他说这个地方算是这样，比方说这个命令人他是上午十一点发出命令，然后那个被命令人是那个是下午五点偷的，那这个东西只要最后被偷了，那么我们就认为那个从今天上午十一点开始，那个命令者就已经不是笔库了。
那你要
认他到底是不是？不是，那个他这地方附有条件，就是你看到那个东西你就偷那个东西。他没有说你无条件去偷这个东西。
你说那个令他偷是无条件的，
对。
Then the commander Kankavitani gives another example also.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, for example, a vessel with oil.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that piku, he puts. Slippers, slippers made of, made of hide means of animal skin.
Oh, animal skin. Okay.
Hide, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which can absorb oil. If
okay,
you put them into the oil, these slippers can absorb oil because they are hide.
Okay.
So, from the time he puts the slippers inside.
Mm-hmm.
So that time is his parajik.
Yes, and the value of the oil is more than one parajik.
Ah, yes, the value of the oil is more than one parajik.
张老师这样的，他那个说那个人在偷取时，必须那个因怕被发现而必须把鞋子投入价值一巴头的油中。他说这个地方这个鞋子，它是指那种动物皮革这种材料，就比方说可以吸油，把那个油吸的这种材料做的。然后他把这个鞋投进那个油的目的是把那个鞋吸油，这样他就不会被发现。他要偷那个油很贵，然后他拿个鞋吸油以后，油被吸到鞋子里，这样他也不会被发现。他说，当他这样做的时候，那个鞋子，当他以这种动机，把那个拿那个鞋吸油的那个鞋从手中脱落的时候，他就犯了巴拉西卡。当然，那个前提是那个油的价值超过一个巴托，也就是五个马萨。
那个，我想问一下，我看那个令他偷鞋，就是那个笔库拿那个锅偷。一波饼或者偷一波肉，这都算那个巴拉吉嘎。我就想，因为在那个中国，像一波饼或者一波肉，你最多不会超过价值20美元。 那我是不是可以理解，只要比如说10美元或者20美元的东西以上就，都是发大财
不可以。
So he's asking that. So he read some stories from the Vinayapitaka that, for example, if a bhikkhu steal a board of meat or a board of pancakes like that, and then he becomes paraja. So, but he's asking that now, for example, in China, one bowl of pancakes is definitely less than $20, less than $20. So probably that is less than 5 massacres. So does he incur for parasitism in that case? So what is your opinion on that?
Regarding the value of the thing,
mm-hmm.
That is one thing we have to discuss maybe. It's called a more extent, if you want to explain this. What is the value?
Uh-huh.
What is the value of pada?
Uh-huh.
What is the value of 5 massacres?
Mm-hmm.
And so on.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go to that extent, we have to open a new topic, a new completely new topic, because it is controversial topic also. So, if we want to cover this, then we have to stop for the time being explaining this. We have to go to another topic. So, if you like, I can do it, because that is also part of the of this rule.
Mm-hmm.
But usually now, this is in the end, no? In the Kanka, we didn't explain somehow in the end, no? Pata Masaka, no?
Yes, probably, let me see.
Kusava, no?
This,
in the end, it explains the end, what means... Kahapana and Pada, Padaraha, all these things, all these terms come in the end of this rule.
Uh-huh.
So then, if we can be patient, we can explain the end of the rule.
Okay.
If we follow the Kangavati order.
Okay.
Otherwise, to stop now and explain about what is the value of Pada.
他说这样，他说是这样，实际上你这个问题实际上就是在问这个一八陀陀母摩诃哈的这个其他教的内容上了。然后他说这个问题呢是首先这是不那个是一个非常大的另外一个话题。然后这个话题是而且是个有争议的话题。他说但如果你们想听的话，他可以讲这个话题，因为这个话题也是这条界的一部分。他说但是呢，他说因为在那个在一户陀陀里边，这个好像是放在这条界的最后讲。所以说如果你们如果你们有耐心的话，他那个他希望把这个东西就是讲这条界最后的时候，然后一户陀陀事情就跟你们讲上。
所以，他如果可以就是那个形象，然后理解和的话，是吧？
啊，
你要说什么？就是说，我认，就是说，他这个一八陀到底值多少钱？他按照就是说各个地区、各个时，就是时间的法律规定，多少你到多少钱的东西，你才会被，如同就是说戒律里面那样描述的说被捆、被杀、被什么？ 这个叫当地当时的法。他就说那个一八陀陀五家的那个东西，它这个是一种换算，就是说金钱的那个兑换嘛，等值的。
So he's telling his own opinion about this pardon and massacre. So he to check whether his opinion fit into your opinion. So his opinion that actually this pardon and massacre, the value of pardon and massacre varies from time to time and from district to district. So he said that actually the value of empire is that mass value. If you have stolen that, then the king will tie you up and maybe kill you or something like that. So therefore, it varies from time to time and from district to district.
We have to not to judge from the value of the item. We have to judge from the point of view whether the policeman comes and catches you and beats you and.
So from the point of civil law, probably according to civil law, how much value if you steal, you're to be imprisoned, something like that.
To be beaten.
Imprisoned or beaten or killed. That's it.
But in that law also changes. That law changes.
Uh-huh.
So then, because some countries they are prohibit to beat as called a thief.
Ah yes.
They prohibit to him. Mm-hmm. However much he steals,
uh-huh.
It's prohibit to steal,
mm-hmm.
To beat them.
Yeah, and to tie up also, like,
huh?
To tie him up also.
To tie him up,
yes,
by that,
yeah.
Some countries.
Okay, okay.
So, in other countries, like Muslim countries, they have to cut, not to beat him, he has to, for a small amount,
mm-hmm.
they have to cut his hand, and or his nose. So
mm-hmm.
then, that is also not reliable to judgment.
Mm-hmm. 他说这个这他说这这种他他说这这这个这个这个也是不可依靠的，为什么呢？因为法律这东西它也随着各国家不同，比如说现在在某些国家，就是不管你偷多少东西他都不会打你，他都不会把你绑起来，就是这国家是这国家是这样的。另外一些国家呢，你稍微比方说穆斯林国家，你稍微偷点东西他不会把你手给砍了，或者把你鼻子给砍了。那这种情况下你不能说你偷多少东西都不会被绑，那你随便偷，对吧？
So and another thing now, they are also if a monk for example is an influential monk、
mm-hmm.
is stole.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, and the officers, you know, he is very influential monk, then
mm-hmm.
they are not going to beat him.
Okay.
Because it is somehow disgrace, no?
Mm-hmm.
Disgrace
mm-hmm.
to do like that for officers.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now in Sri Lanka, in mm-hmm. Buddhist country, and what, now monks, they have enjoy certain privileges.
Okay, okay.
So even in checkpoints, no, for example, there are checkpoints.
Uh-huh.
In the airport, even the country, the checkpoints, monks will have free passage. They never check them, and so they never touch the body.
Oh, okay.
So, because it is regarded, it is disrespectful to touch the body of a monk for checking, for example.
Okay.
Therefore, in the airport, sometimes monks they pass like that free,
okay.
without checking.
Okay.
They will tell, the officers tell, come, go.
Hmm.
So, therefore, now in the same way, if a monk has stolen something, officers would be ashamed to beat him, to punish him like that. They will try to somehow to tell him never do it again and so on like that and let him free. So, but if we take from the Vinaya point of view, of course, it is different now. You see, if you judge only how the officers behave towards monks, it can be different according to circumstances and according to the high rank of a monk or lower rank of a monk. So if we judge only whether the officers punish the monk or does not punish the monk,
mm-hmm.
it's not a reliable way to find whether that monk become parajic or not.
他说这个东西这样，还有比方说在一些佛教国家里边，那个尤其在佛教国家里边，那个比方说一个那个出家佛教出家人享有一些社会地位和特权。那么在这那个就是说那个警察或者执法人员一般来说不愿意侮辱你。那这种情况就是，比方说一个很有威望、很有名气的一个出家人，假如偷了钱的话，警察是肯定不会把你绑起来打你，这事他是不会做的。然后，再比如说你还有一些特权，比方说你有的时候在机场那个检查口这儿，有的时候他们对出家人跟那个包裹根本就不检查，直接让你过去了。而且他们即使检查你，他们也因为注意不会碰你身体，然后因为那个人是非常不敬的。然后他是那个就是警察把你抓到之后，往往就对可能跟你进行批评教育，让你不要再犯。然后就问你释放，这种事都是有的。他说，但是，所以说，如果你仅仅从法律角度上讲，你这个事犯不犯罪，可能还跟你这个你在佛教里边那个等级、身份、威望有关。但是从戒律的角度上，你肯定不能这样讲，就是说你犯不犯戒，跟你等级、身份、威望，这是说不过去的。所以说，所以从法律上讲去分析这个东西，这也是不可靠的。
There are monks who can steal $1,000 and so forth, and then the officer tell one day never do it again and so forth. So that monk therefore does not become parajika because the officer told him, okay, I don't beat you in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some monks also who can bribe officers.
Oh, okay.
Bribing also, he will bribe and so forth, he will give him about $500 and then he will be released. So then, they will take a copy and they'll go and pay the officer and so what, $500 and to get out. So then to cancel the whole complaint, any complaint.
Uh-huh. 然后就比方说那个就是可能有这样的情况，就比方说一个出家人偷了价值1000美元的东西，然后那个对警察对他进行只是进行批评教育，但是你不能说因为他这个他就不犯帮拉机关，而且还有一些出家人他会贿赂警察，他会叫自己经人说你把这1000美元拿出500来给警察孝敬一下，然后把这事整个就给遮掩住了，后面是完全传不出去，这也是有可能的。但是你也不能说这里边警察没有打他没有骂没有打他没有绑他，但是他就不犯拉机关，这是不对的。
So therefore, we'll discuss this in the end of the of this rule.
所以我们就讲，我们那个在不是讲这段，接着讲最后什么，会讲这个话题。
Now the next is Dhuranikepa, no? Dhuranikepa it is when one causes, the bhikkhu causes the another person to give his ownership in order to steal that item himself. Okay? There are different cases how to do so. Okay, you can tell.
To give up his ownership.
Yeah, one, the bhikkhu causes another person to give up his ownership in order to steal that item, that goods for himself.
Okay. 他说这个，他说放弃责任，说放弃责任是指那个，比库为了偷取某样物品，那个使得物主那个放弃对他这个物品的所有权，这种称为放弃责任。
This is already we have learned one case like that about how a bhikkhu can steal a land, a land by in the going to the high court and cheating, and so that the other person, the owner, will give his ownership of the land, and so that the monk can own the land himself. That is one case.
他说这个我们实际上就是关于这个那个放弃责任，我们其实已经学过例子，就比方说那个二十五法第一条。假如占取的话，就比方说那个他到法院提起一个虚假诉讼，为了抢夺人家土地，最后使得人家放弃所有权了。这个假如占取本身，它也是这个那个放弃责任的一个例子，但是还有其他的例子。
That is the case number one in Nanabandha Panchaka Adiyeya.
Oh yes, that I explained to
you. Yes, you told him.
Yes.
Okay. The next is. Another way how to make Dhuranikepa it is by if a person goes and keeps goods with a monk for safety, and then and after he comes back and asks for that goods, and that monk tells, I don't have these goods, I don't know what to do with these goods, so that that person gives up his ownership of the goods.
So
that is also Dhuranikepa. That is Parajika by stealing it.
So that is previously also explained, Avahareya, no?
Yes, that is where we have learned this about Avahareya.
Okay.
That is the case of Avahareya, no?
然后那个第二那个第二的方式，其实我们以前也学过，就是在那个种财物法里边第三种，假如夺取就是重复一遍，就是说那个当时那个物主本来是在那个比库的地方暂时把东西寄放一下，然后等物主回来的时候，这个比库说，嗯，这东西我没有了，然后他实际上把东西藏起来了，然后最后以这个原因的导致物主放弃责任的话，这个也是放弃责任的巴拉西卡。
So he also includes cases where a monk takes something temporary from a person and tells, I will give it later.And he never keeps it, thinking, oh, why should keep it? It's a very good thing. And he keeps from himself. That is also Parajika case. Dhuranikepa. Therefore, till that person thinks this monk is never going to give this item to me. Therefore, he keeps up his ownership. That is the time when the monk becomes Parajika.
他说还有一种情况，比方说一个比库向另外一个人借了很贵的东西。本来只是借一下，但是后来觉得不想还了。然后这个时候，当那个物主已经认定这东西再也收不回来的时候，就是他就是放弃责任了。那这个比库就放了巴拉西卡。
So this includes all the cases of bandadeya. Bandadeya is compensation. Compensation. Now, for example, a monk causes something to be destroyed. Okay. So and then in that case, now he has to compensate for that. The owner expects compensation. Okay? Why you destroyed my thing? This is very valuable thing. Why you did it like that? So if the owner expects compensation, and the monk does not give it, so that is again parajika.
然后还有一种情况，就是一个比库损坏了一个物主现在有价值的一个那个价值很高的一个东西，然后这个物主期望这个比库给予赔偿，但这个比库不给。这个事儿，如果这个那个确实赔偿价值超过一定数额，也是巴拉西卡。
So, and then we have the other categories called Puppappa Yoga Panchaka.
好，下面我开始讲那个前方便的部分。
It's called pre-planned still. Okay, let's see. Here we have again five cases, and then Puppappa Yoga means.
Preliminary effort.
Let me see. Puppappa Yoga. Let me see. Puppappa Yoga. Tat Anativasena Puppappa Yoga. Now it is Puppappa Yoga is again with commanding. Now the Kangavidra does not give any examples, but in the Vinaya notes they tell ordering and all still without specifying a time period, being sure that the other would carry out the command. The bhikkhus parajivata dhamma. It's like it's sahatika, no?No, this is like anatika.
Anatika.
Anativasana Puppappa Yoga. Puppappa Yoga is Anativasana. Yes, Puppappa Yoga it means pre-planned stealing, that means he already can't be pre-planned, no? It is the previous effort. Puppappa Yoga is previous effort by ordering somebody.This also becomes to account to the category of anatika, in sahatika panjaka. So then...
So here this Puppappa Yoga only means commanding. So here this Puppappa Yoga only means commanding. This preliminary effort only here...
Yeah, that is commanding. It is only commanding.
Okay. 他说这个地方那个第一法那个前方面跟前面那个命令区是很像的，那个他说这个地方这个地方前方面就是指的命令区里边那个命令。
So then, and then Sahapa Yoga it is. Sahapa Yoga. Yeah, the Kanga Vidyan gives about three cases how Sahapa Yoga is in place. That's called. It is one is Tana Chavana.By shifting from on some place, the good from its position, to change the position of the good. And then in the customs, Kila Dinsagamata, in the customs, if one throws the object in the, and passes the customs, passes the customs with smuggled things, with smuggled items.
That means Nisabir.
Yes, that also belongs to that.And by taking land and so forth, that is also all belong to the category of Sahapa Yoga. But, it is with the last effort. Sahapa Yoga is last effort. Yes, this belongs to the last effort. Last effort means when, now for example, the position of the thing, you change it. Okay, that is the imparatika.Or you take the land and that person keeps the Turanikepa, makes Turanikepa, gives up ownership. That is the time you become Parajika. So the time you throw the thing from the other side of the customs and then after you go and take it, that is the time of Parajika.
Sankara. So go and take it. That's the time.
No, no, by passing the custom, passing the custom.
Passing the time was already
passed.
他说这个，最方便是指你盗取一个东西的那个最后一个步骤。那这那个这个地方，我们可以举三个例子来分析。比方说，种种财物的无法的里边第五个，假如离开原处，那个。离开原处，比如说是最后你使这个物主物品完全离开的位置了，这个就称为这个地方最方便最后一个步骤。那这到这个时候你犯了巴拉心看，再举一个例子，比方说那个亲手无法里边一个偷制，亲手无法里边那个偷制的话，那你还是可以有很多计划，但你最后一个步骤是把这个东西扔过海关的检查点。当你做出扔顺的动作之后，这个称为最方便。再举一个例子，比方说那个。种种财务法里边第一个那个占取，对这个假如占取来说，那个最方便就是那个物主放弃这个对这个财务所有权的那个一瞬间，他当他放弃所有权的时候，你这个最方便也完成了。
So now the next is Sanketa Kama. Sanketa Kama it is something similar with Atta Sadaka, but the time is that it is a specific time. Now, while Atta Sadaka, it is not, time limit is not specific. But the Sangeta, it is when the time limit is specified. So then that is different. And if a monk tells the other person, go and steal this, it's called at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. And that person goes and steals it in that exactly on 5 o'clock in the afternoon, or around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So that is the time when that monk falls into offense. Not before, not afterwards.
So Bhante, this is Sanketaka.
Sanketaka.
Okay, the order is a little bit different from Kanka Vitamini, because the Kanka Vitamini goes first with Samvita, we have a Vahar, and then Sankhita Kama. Okay, so we follow the order of Vinayana. The order is a little bit different, I think.
No, it is all the same order. No?
Sankhita
Kama. Right. Sorry.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
No, no, it is. I missed it. Okay, sorry.
Because you actually follow the order of Vinayana.
I'm following the order. I sit number 3, it is Sanketaka. Okay, what to do? I missed it. Sanvita Vihar? Okay, Sanvita.
Okay.
Okay, you can explain first this and the...
Okay. 上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上上 就是说你他最后的例子是说你看了个财务局投，没有说你什么什么时间去投，但是这个前方面的无法里边那个第一条是做约定，做约定他是那个他就给你约定在某个时间，你必须在某个时间偷取这个物品。
So then, well, no. The next is Sanvidhanavahara, no?
Sanvidhanavahara.
The group plans to be, as called. It is Sanvidhana means organized, organized stealing.
To organize the stealing.
Organized. Sanvidhana means is organized with a group. It's a group.
So this people is the organizer of the group. Is the
leader? Many monks.
So all. All the bhikkhus in this group, whatever the role he's playing, he falls into this offense, no?
Yes, now the monks, the group of monks, no? Mm-hmm. Like five monks,
mm-hmm.
they organize themselves and tell Ashkol that we're going to steal together
mm-hmm.
these goods.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it is organized crime, like criminals. They make an agreement
mm-hmm.
that we go and steal together
mm-hmm.
these things, because one person alone is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see, because one has to watch if people coming,
mm-hmm.
and one has to go there to spy and so what. And so then all these are organized. So then if one of them steals
mm-hmm.
the good,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
all five or all the group becomes parasitic.
Mm-hmm. 他是那个，然后这个地方共谋盗窃是指那种有组织的，就是好多人一起参与这种盗窃。然后你们如果你们这个组织好多人一起盗窃一个东西，就只要有一个人成功盗取了那个东西，那么你们这个组织里边所有人，不管你是最后负责偷东西的，还是你是负责那个放风的，还是负责那个探风的，还是负责那个放哨的，还是负责组织策划，通通都犯巴拉这个。
说。The special case and so forth, which like burglars.
Oh, yes, burglars.
So then, in order to break a door or like that, one person is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Some two, three people have to come together
mm-hmm.
because one has to watch if other people come in. No,
mm-hmm.
they are outside on the road,
mm-hmm.
standing and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And to give a tip, if people come, they to tell the others stop,
mm-hmm.
don't make noise.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it is one person can't do this because they have to break into the house like
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
and therefore about three, four, five people have to come. People have to come together to do.
他这种情况比较强烈于那种入室盗窃情况，因为入室盗窃来说，可能入室比较困难。再一个入室一个人入室以后，可能外面需要有个人放哨。如果看到家主人回来以后，他就那个这个放哨人会说停止，不能停止盗窃。
So can you imagine bhikkhus doing such things?
Pardon?
You can ask him, can you imagine bhikkhus doing such things? Breaking into your houses to steal.
大家可以想象就是那个比库会做这种行为吗？
So then,
这不都是对比库会做这种行为，想不到。
He said, he doesn't believe that in Lord Buddha's time, bhikkhus would do things as such.
So I think there are stories, no? I was calling the Parajika stories.
就是在律藏里边，其实你可以看到那个故事。
There are stories. That's how bhikkhus did it.
嗯，那个在律藏里边有这样的故事，说这有这样的比库做了这样的行为。
So then, now, because now, most of the monks, they come from lay life. So, and they have the habit already. They carry this habit from lay life. If there is something which they like, so they don't know how to restrain themselves. And they try to steal it, to possess it. In whatever hook and crooked ways. So this is how actually the temptation is there to steal. They can't restrain the desires. This is how monks can fall into such offenses by not able to restrain the desires.
他说那个之所以是出现这种情况，是因为那个这些比库出家以前也都是在家人，所以说他们出家时也都带着在家人这些习惯。因为他们有在家人这些习惯的，所以说他们见到他们喜欢的东西，还是有那个，如果他们有之前有这种习惯，他还会有那个盗取的欲望，然后他就不择手段去取得它。所以说一个比库如果不能够很好的克制自己的欲望的话，他就可能会犯这样的戒。
Nowadays there are rumors, or cases and so forth in monasteries, which is stealing is common. Maybe not in Aoyane, But in other places, even samaneras, who have no training in the samanera sikapatas, samanera rules, they don't know how to restrain themselves not to kill, not to steal. Therefore, if you are in your room and you leave for a watch, you might not find it again. Because the samanera went and stole it. Samanera, or bhikkhus they go and steal. Because they have not been trained in it. They don't know how to protect this rule.
让现在流传一些那个流言，但也可能是真事，就是说不是在龙树林，但是在其他一些寺庙，就是盗窃这种行为可能很常见的。而且这之所以出现这种行为，就是有一些上百年来和那个比库他出家时没有学过戒律，也没有受什么戒律方面的训练，所以说他们就会干这种事情。所以说有的事你在房间里面放一块手表，可能你都不会再见到这个手表第二次。
So I heard from some Indian monks, they went to one famous temple. All of them, they lost their watches. And then they found out the samanera stole them.
他认识几个印度的比库，然后那个一个印度比库一些印度比库去了一个著名的寺庙，然后去了这著名寺庙以后，他们的手表都丢了。后来他们发现就是那个寺庙上面人来给偷了。
So then,
我能问一个例子吗？在前面那个亲属取的最后一个，那就是放弃责任这个，有三种例啊。比如说第一个，一个比库到一个在家人的家里，看到桌子上一个挺昂贵的东西，他看哎这挺好的，然后那个在家人一看以后，哎呀，那我就把它供养吧。然后当时那个比库的心他是想，哎，这个东西挺好的，要是归我多好，有那种道心起。完了以后，那个在家人他还是会察言观色，他就一看，哎，喜欢的我就供养。第二种情况是这样子，比库他以那种喜欢的心拿起来了，已经拿起来了。
喜欢的心是占有的心。
有好奇或者是那种，
只是好奇。
我看，应该是
或者是这么讲，那个比库有那种那就直接是巴拉基的，应该是那种就从贪欲的心拿起来。
贪欲但不是占有。
嗯，理解。
贪欲但不是占有。
第三种是这样子，就是他拿起来以后，在家人一看那个，也是就顺势就是说，那我就供养给你，也是一种就放弃的那种。
那你这三种其实就是一种，就是三种其实就是一种，就是这比库喜欢这东西，但是就是一就是两种吧，就是一种是他都是喜欢这东西，一种是他没有碰这东西，另外一种是他把这东西拿起来了，是吗？就是两种情况。
然后再加一个，就比如说那个比库现在是借他一样东西，很昂贵的东西，先是他是以借心那个借的，借完以后再用。用了挺长时间以后，他突然有一天觉得，哎，这个东西挺好的，要是那要归我，那不已经用的挺好，归我就好了。然后再加一次，哎呀，那个用了这么久，应该班丁那个借了这么久，班丁应该还是挺喜欢，那我就把它就供了给班丁算了，就也是一种就放弃了那个责任。
放弃责任，但是想的是供养。
之前是那个就本来是。借的关系，后来就他直接就在家里在想那个，那我就供养。
那我就供养是吧？好，行。
最后一个
问题。So he is asking that, so if a bhikkhu went to a lay house, and then found something very well on the table.
What?
He found something very well on the table.
Very well
in the lay house. So then with desire.Of liking this item, being attracted by this item, but not by occupy, but he doesn't have desire to occupy this thing, but he likes
it, to own it.
So then he's sneaking around like this. So then the householder saw this people doing like that. So then the householder think, okay, if this people like this so much, I offer it to him.So in such cases, does any offense occur to these people?
No offense at all, because it is innocent, innocent intentions. He looks at innocent in there, because he becomes interested how things, to find out, he did not have even imagined that to own it, or want to give any hint that I want to have it. Therefore, he doesn't feel any offense at all.
他说这个比库，他我这个先你说那个第一个情况，他说这个比库，如果说他们没有占有性，只是喜欢就行的话，你这个东西是不犯的，完全不犯，是那个是什么都不犯。那我再问第二个。
第一个，
你想说什么？
我看律藏尼说类似的一个例子，就说一个比库去了另一个比库敬人的家里，然后就转述了他的话，然后那个他那个敬人
转述了什么话？
比如说，就是转述了这个，就是说，比如说，你要在，就是说，反正绿桑尼也没怎么说他要什么，是转述了他的话，然后那个他的敬人就同样给他了一份东西，然后佛陀就说你是犯恶作，你说那个什么我需要一件袈裟，然后他转述了这句话，然后同样那个什么那个敬人给他两件袈裟，或者说只给他一件袈裟，没给本来那个。反正就不管咋着，因为你转述话或你的暗示，让你获得了利益，我觉得这就是同类型的恶作。
你这样，你能问题，你回去查一下，把你这故事整个完整故事先给我自己整理，然后我下次我帮你问，好吧？我先把这个问题问完，他这个问题我问了一半。So continue with his question first, because his question is not very clear. I will ask him to clarify his question, then I will check with his question. So his second case. So the same bhikkhu, he's not only sneaking around this thing, but also he tries to shift it, still not with the intention of owning it, just shift it. And then the householder thought, oh, this bhikkhu likes it so much, I will offer it to him.So in such case, does he... The owner thought, oh, this bhikkhu likes this so much, then I will just offer it to this bhikkhu. Okay. Does he fall into any offense?
Yeah, he doesn't fall into offense. It depends on attention and depends on the... If there is an item which is anamasa, Anamas is untouchables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, they are, for example, if it is made of gold or silver or something like that, okay. Or the gems.
Okay.
Now, this item usually you don't touch.
Mm-hmm.
So then, in that case, if he touches, he falls into dukkha offense by touching.
Okay.
So then, but if the intention is not to take it,
mm-hmm.
then he does not cure any offense. And usually now I have to add also that it's better to tell the Daiga, to explain the Daiga. I did not take this with intention to own it like that. You have to explain the Daiga. Otherwise, Daiga will think, look, these Buddhist monks, they are so greedy for such things. One has to explain the Daiga.
Sure.
Only if the Daiga insists and so forth, one can accept this, but if one is not, usually if one has shame, one does not accept this.
Okay. 他是这样，他说你关于你那个第二个问题，就是像那个比库洛巴德里拿起来会怎样？他说这只要你这个东西不是那种不可触的物品，不是那种不可触的物品，然后你的动机还是那个不是占有的东西，还是不犯。但是要说两点，第一点，如果这个东西，比方说是金子做的、银子做的。那这种东西对比库来说是不可触的物品。那这个东西你不管你什么东西，你触碰它本身就是犯了恶作。这是第一。第二，虽然说你刚才那个行为是如果是不是不可触的物品是不犯的嘛，但是你张老师最好在这种情况，如果对方给你，你也不要接受，不然的话，那就是会认为你看这佛教虽然都看到有好东西想要。然后如果他说一个有修持的比库，他是不会接受这种东西。然后第三个问题是什么？我刚被他那个。
第三个问题是那个是相互借的一个关系。
哦，我知道。So he said he had another question. So for example, if Bhikkhu has borrowed something from a Daiga, then for a very long time, then
he bought something.
Borrowed something from Daika for a very long time. Then finally, this Daika, for a very long time, he didn't return it. So finally, this Daika thought, oh, maybe this Bhikkhu like my item. So let me offer this item to him. So in this case, does this Bhikkhu fall into any offense?
So he may fall into offense if he actually thinks, postpones it deliberately.
Uh-huh.
To return this item,
mm-hmm.
thinking, oh, maybe the Daiga is going to give it to me.
Okay.
So then, that is, if his intention like that.
So in such case, what offense does he feel?
Yes, it is like stealing, like pressurizing Daiga.
Uh-huh.
As I told you, the case, Tavakalika means Tavakalika is temporary, one takes temporary.
Uh-huh.
Temporary means one borrows it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and does not return it with intention, maybe the Daika is going to give to me.
Mm-hmm.
The time the Daika makes Duranikeva, mm-hmm. the monk becomes Paradika.
Also Paradika?
Yes, Paradika.
But
if the intention is to keep it,
uh-huh.
to keep it so that the Daika will somehow feel that, now I can't get this thing anymore, now mm-hmm. the time is too long, mm-hmm. the monk keeps his,
mm-hmm.
therefore I will. Because he gives up the intention to keep it, to own it.
Uh-huh.
So then, and that is where actually the Bhikkhu falls into Paradika.
Uh-huh.
So
even if this Daika is willing to offer this to the Bhikkhu.
But if it is done without intention and so forth, it's very tricky. Very tricky means because you actually pressurize the Daika.
Oh, okay.
By postponing,
okay, okay.
You pressurize the Daika to
okay.
do so.
Okay, okay.
That is actually why the intention is just to take it.
Okay.
To take what is not given.
Okay.
He is giving you temporary, but you want to take it forever.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why actually you want to steal it.
Okay.
The stealing intention is there.
Okay. But
that is the case.
Okay.
But if this is not the case,
mm-hmm.
So the monk maybe forgot.
Uh-huh.
Maybe think he has no time because there are time pressure for him that I have to do first this and after I will meet the Daika. Or maybe there is no way to contact the Daika
mm-hmm.
because there is some
yes.
obstacles there.
Okay.
So he does not do it intentionally.
Uh-huh.
He has a real intention to return it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is completely different intention, the chetana. Mm-hmm. We chant from chetana, no? Mm-hmm. It is different chetana. Mm-hmm. And if the dayaka later thinks, okay, one day, school, you take this and so on. So then, and the monk, then he offers it, mm-hmm. then the monk can accept it. Mm-hmm. But as I told you, we have to explain the dayaka. Mm-hmm. Because dayakas will find fault with Buddhist monks. Mm-hmm. So you don't keep good impression to lay people by doing such things. Mm-hmm. So you destroy the faith of other people. Destroy means people will lose faith. Mm-hmm. So you must also feel the responsibility as a bhikkhu to act in a such a way that people who don't think that you are greedy to get what they own.
张老师，这个分分，你问第三个问题，分分分分分那个两种情况来解释。一种情况是这个bhikkhu他在这个过程中他有故意延迟的动机。他觉得他知道我如果我延迟一下，说不定会不管他最后是供养给我，还是怎样给我，还是不情愿的给我，反正最后我会得到这个东西。就是他中间他有这个东西，他有这个东西。那他如果是以这样的东西，最后使那个施主放弃这个东西的话，巴拉吉卡。然后如果他就穿越还这个东西，是因为他忘了这事，或者说他和这个施主不容易联系。总之他不是故意不还。那如果这个情况下是不犯的，然后但是张老师即使在这种情况下，最好跟施主解释一下，说我为什么因为我是因为什么原因最后没能还你，因为不然的话这个会破坏，就是会对你这个那个在家人心中出现这个形象造成极大的影响，而且会破坏在家人对佛法的信心。
然后再追加一个问题，就是在第二个例子当中，就是他拿起来的时候，他那个心就是动机很重要。怎样区分就是一个贪婪的心和一个占有的心，这两个心的那个就是程度怎样那个区别？因为有时候拿起来是因为有兴趣，有兴趣是因为有那种就是浅层次的一个贪是在的。然后那个占有的话，那个就可能是要更大的那种汲取的那个，怎样来区分那时候的心？他们两个之间会有那个，就会放到后面是放巴拉基嘎，前面那个话是
不分。So he's he's asking that the difference between the two kinds of intentions of being attracted by something and wanting to own something.Is very subtle. So he's telling that. For example, if a bhikkhu raises a cup with a kind of desire of a cup, and another bhikkhu raises the same cup for a desire to own it. So these two things, how to tell the difference? These two kinds of intention.
Can tell the difference. It is it is a subtle thing, but if one is not mindful, of course, one does not become aware of this.
Okay.
But usually, by reflection, one must know what was the intention, the chetana, by wanting to touch this.
Mm-hmm.
Why you want to touch this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it is innocent intention, you might understand this as innocent intention.
Mm-hmm.
But, if it is something, strong desire to possess the thing,
mm-hmm.
you can't miss that intention.
Uh-huh.
You can't miss that.Because now you want to, now the desire to own something, it is a very strong desire.
Mm-hmm.
So then, why just to see it, just for curiosity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Curiosity is very causal desire. It means it is just it, random desire, it comes. Just to see it, just for curiosity. Small children also do like that. Mm-hmm. They want to see it, new thing, colors, but they don't. To own it, as what is a different strong desire.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can't miss that.
Uh-huh.
So then, therefore you must differentiate these things. It is now, chetanas also are combined with desires.
Uh-huh.
So if you can't identify exactly this, the chetana, but you, at least you can identify your desire to own it.
Uh-huh.
That is why I tell you, you can sahyo analyze yourself and
okay. Understand
that, okay, I had the desire to own it. I had a strong desire. I didn't want only to read the letters or to see the color. So I want to really own it.
他说你这个当时如果是没有正念的话呢，就如果是失念的话，你肯定不可能，可能在这个东西可能在你心中都没有任何印象。但是如果说你当时，如果说你当时你还那个是惧念的话，那么你是否只要经过反省， 你这件事情是很容易知道。他说因为占有这个欲望是一种非常强的欲望，你不论如何都不会忘掉。如果你真的起了那个占有的欲望的话，这个事儿你是不会忘掉的。因为像你说那种普通贪欲，像小孩子也会有，小孩子看到一个东西他也会拿去好好看看，然后这个东西真好，这种东西比较容易忘掉这些。但是如果你拿去这东西真的是为了占有的话，这个东西在你翻醒的时候一定会出现。
就是说他们那个程度是一个是没有一个是浅程度可能就一下就忘记，另一个的话他会挺牢牢的记住那种当时的那种强烈的那种强烈的受在哪里。
对，因为它是一种因为它就是我自己话，张老明说，因为它很明显是一种张力，你当时你想有的东西但是你没有那东西，这个矛盾是很明显的。
啊，就是在中国这样的一个情况
啊，
碰瓷就发生了这样的一个情况。结果他比如说他走过这个人身边的时候，他实际上没有碰到那个人，但是那个人呢，他把他价值很难，他价值很看起来其实不值那么多价值的这个东西呢，给扔地下去了。
啊，
然后呢，这个时候警察过来，他为了使他们两个把这个矛盾给和解的话，他说啊算了，赔点钱比较好。那实际上他这件事情实际上是没有发生过的。
嗯，
这个时候呢，但是警察这个时候判了这个比库呢哈，给他点钱。
嗯，
这个钱如果已经超过了一把头，
嗯，
那么这件事传到孙团里面去了。
嗯，
传到孙团里面去呢，那孙团就有依据，他是认为你这个事情确实是发生过，那么警察已经。
嗯，
我认为就是说，那个判断这个事情的这个到底是自己的，还是对方，还是警察，还是孙团的某一个比较有威望的这个人。
So he's telling them like this very complicated case. So for example, just now we have been told that so if a bhikkhu destroys something that belongs to an owner.Then he has the obligation to compensate for that. No, so for example, if on a sidewalk, a bhikkhu bumped into a pedestrian, and this pedestrian actually is called, has this kind of intention to get something from the bhikkhu. So for example, this pedestrian hold a bus.Or any other thing which is very vulnerable. So for example, after this bhikkhu bumped into this pedestrian, he dropped us, deliberately dropped this bus, and the bus got broken. So then the policeman come, and then this bhikkhu and this pedestrian started to quarrel. And then the policeman come. Because the policeman actually, he does not know the incident, the whole story of the incident. So finally, the judgment of the policeman is that the bhikkhu has to...Yet, compensate for the bus, for example. So then Sangha got informed also. Then the Sangha said, oh, then we have to follow the judgment of the policeman. So in such case, how should this bhikkhu be justified? Or shall we follow the story of shall we follow the narrative of the bhikkhu, or the narrative of the pedestrian, or shall we follow the judgment of the policeman, or shall we follow the decision of the sangha? He's asking.
So, usually we have to listen to both sides.
Both sides.
Okay. And that becomes also aniyata. Aniyata.
Okay.
Aniyata case when you have to be decided, and we have to take mostly the side of the bhikkhu.Okay, this Patijanana is what he admits.
Mm-hmm.
What he admits. If he admits that he had not the intention to destroy this thing,
mm-hmm.
so it happened accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we have to take his judgment, as called this, his opinion, the opinion of the bhikkhu, and not to tell him that he is a parajita.
In which occasion should we take the opinion of the bhikkhu?
In this occasion, we have to take now the opinion of the bhikkhu, what he admits.
Okay.
If he tells that he did not intention to destroy this, it happened accidentally, and also that man actually did it intentionally so that this vase, all Ajmi, would be destroyed. So then, that he has no intention to do something like that. So intention was not to destroy it. Then we have to accept the, what the bhikkhu admits, and not to judge him with parabola.
So
not to judge him with parabola.
This applies for the case that there is no strong evidence to disqualify the bhikkhu.
Yes, to show that the bhikkhu follows the parabola.
Okay.
If we study this Aniyata rules, we can find also such cases.
Mm-hmm.
When we have to judge upon what the bhikkhu admits.
Mm-hmm.
If he does not admit that yes, his intention was not impure,
mm-hmm.
so we have to take that into account.
Mm-hmm.
And what lay people tell.
Mm-hmm.
Even if a Sotapanna person, like we have the case of Aniyata rules.
Yes. Was
a disciple, she was Sotapanna,
uh-huh.
she blamed another monk with parajit.
Uh-huh.
You can't accept that. How much ever, even a devotee, uh-huh. Buddhist devotee, let alone a policeman, tells something against bhikkhu, the bhikkhu, we have to accept what the bhikkhu tells.
Uh-huh.
And we can't, accuse the bhikkhu as a parajit and a devotee if he tells that his intentions are completely different.
他说这个像你说的像后面像后面后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面像后面 像他所说的那样状态了吧？那么应该谁应该听取比库的意见？就比库如果他自己认为他没有那种东西，他没有犯巴拉西卡的话，那么就应该听取比库的意见。他说后面修不定法的时候，还会再详细解释这个事情。
So, his unclear question, complicated question, whether.
No. His question actually, he took some story from the Vinayapitaka, and he, he knows, but he not so good. Repeat the story very precisely. So I asked him to check the story again. And,
So now we'll go to the Nimitta Kama, no?
Mm-hmm.
It is prearranged signal to steal. Prearranged, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Signal. Mm-hmm. One gives a signal to another monk to steal,
mm-hmm.
or to any other person to steal.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and the bhikkhu falls to Parajika when the signal is given. That is, now this signal can be just a blink of the eye. Or movement of the hand, telling that there is already agreement. Let's see that between the bhikkhu and the other person, the bhikkhu tells, only if I give you the signal, I blink my eye, you go and steal it. Or if I lift my finger, you go and steal it. Or I make this movement, go and steal it. Because he wants to make sure that everything is ready. Now, for example, if in the Dhanasala, okay, so then they are still monks.
Mm-hmm.
So the bhikkhu tells the other person, wait,
mm-hmm.
because they are still monks. When I click the eye like that, then you go and steal it. So then waiting. And then when he gives, the monks leave, now the bhikkhu gives the signal.
Mm-hmm.
The monk goes and steal. And the other monk goes and steal. In the time of giving the signal, that is the monk who goes to the bar.
Okay. So when he gives the signal, then
Yes, katta nimitta to pacha pore janavahana bhuto tanava.
It is not mentioned.
Yeah, this is like, you see, he might take, like you see, now the other other person, he might go and stay maybe after 10 minutes, 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
But that bhikkhu falls into, becomes not bhikkhu, uh-huh. not bhikkhu, he falls into parajika, mm-hmm. he loses his bhikkhuhood mm-hmm. in the time of giving the signal.
Okay, okay. Okay. That is actually the same as the Sankhya Dhamma.
Yes,
like, okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. And then the last one, the last one, 现象的比方说是这种情况 那么他说这个时候，比方说这个比库做出这个信号，是那个12点钟，然后但是这个人进来偷东西，可能是下午3点钟，那么只要最后这个东西被偷了，那么这个比库在12点钟的时候，他就失去了比库身份，成为巴拉奇卡，和前面那个做约定是一样的。
不属于研究，就是说下面的那个。不是，他是说他那个他你做那手势，然后你进来偷的时候，那你进来偷你就要自己偷血的东西，还是要花点时间。不是因为你做成这个信号和你到最后到最后的倒数的东西肯定是有个时间差的。按照这上面说的是不算的。
Now we go to the next penta, it's called Deyavahara Panchaka. Taking by stealing. Taking by stealing. Deyavahara. But it involves more violent ways of stealing. More sophisticated ways of stealing.
Okay.
下面开始讲偷盗学的部分，然后这里边可能包含一种比较暴力的一些偷盗的方式。Now, Deyavahara is called, it is in Vinayana digging tunnels to end the location for burgling, duplicating currency, fraudful wear animation. Yes, something like that. So it involves all kind of yes, that is what is the same thing all the Kanka Vidyarani tells. You can translate it from the Vinaya notes itself or from Kanka Vidyarani.
So
now this is Sandhi Cheda in school, yes. To break doors. So he does this and so forth, it is stealing means so that he tries so nobody comes to know it.
Uh-huh.
I call it. It is to die it in a very secret way so that nobody can see him.
Mm-hmm.
That is the meaning of stealing. If somebody sees you, finds you out, then it is actually
burglar.
It is burglar or something. Therefore, now this kind of thing is there.
他说这个地方所谓偷盗呢，就是他不管他举的这例子是那个什么伪称啊、伪量还是伪币，还是说趁人不在的时候进去偷。他之所以被称为偷盗，就是他试图这个盗窃行为在那个一种秘密状态下，在别人看不见的状态下就完成。因为如果是在别人看那个看见状态下完成，那就不是偷盗，就是那个抢劫了。
Okay, and the next is Pasayavahara. This is actually exercising complete force. Blundering, taking by force, excessive tax by force. And then the Kanka Vidyarani is also a similar explanation. So it's like attacking somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Attacking somebody and taking his goods.
Mm-hmm.
And taking taxes, excessive tax by force, like policemen do, or like tax collectors do. So then, okay, these are the cases which involved under the Pasahyavaha.
然后那个强迫取财也看那个一个图上面解释，就是使用暴力强迫来取得他人所有物，比方说有强盗的行为，或者说像像国王的警察，或者佣兵这些这些这些，怎样强迫别人这个就通过强迫别人取得别人财产行为。So
now the next is more complicated, parikapavaharo. It is yes, conditional intent it is. That is okay. It is stealing by putting certain conditions. If other people are around, I will not steal it. But if other people are not around, I will steal it. So something like that.
他说那个下面一个便宜取，便宜取是指有条件的那个盗取。 比如说那个，比如说那个，跟到了一个地方想偷东西，然后自己做一个决议，说这个地方如果有人的话，我就不偷；这个地方没人的话，我就偷。这正是有条件的盗取，就是便宜取。
So now the Gangavidin gives examples that if a bhikkhu needs cloth and he goes into a room and he finds a bag inside the room, and he thinks, if there is a cloth, I will take it. If it is thread, I will not take it. So, and then in the darkness of the room, he takes a bag. If it is a cloth inside the bag, then the time he took that bag, he falls into the paralytic.
Okay.
但是 if it is threat, still he is not holding the paradigm.
我这样说是那个是这样，比方说他那个便宜便宜便宜场所，就和那个一户独当说的一样，就是说他那个进入屋里边，他说那个如果进入屋里边拿起个袋子，然后他进入屋里边还没看到屋里边有个袋子，但是拿起个袋子之前他就想。 如果袋子里边是个衣服的话，我就不偷了。如果这个袋子里边是线的话，我就不偷。然后他就把这个袋子提下来。他说这个时候，如果说这个袋子里边确实是衣服的话，他那提起袋子那一瞬间还没打开，就提起袋子那一瞬间他已经犯了法拉西卡。如果是那个袋子里边实际上是线的话，他还没有犯法拉西卡。如果说但是如果说他那个他知后面他知道了线，然后就是说不管什么，然后我都偷，那就有他就犯了法拉西卡。
So now, if he takes his bag outside the room, and he opens it, and sees that, there is threat inside it. So then, and he puts it back into the room, still he has not fallen into the paradigm.
他说如果他看到那个是线，然后再拿起来以后，他又把它放回去了，这样的话他不犯paradigm。
So if he sees that in the back there is threat and he thinks, whatever I got, now it is too late, I can't go back in the room. So then, and he goes away. That's called, then by every step, is dukkata. So then, every step is dukkata. And then if he plays on the ground and lifts again, it is paradigma. Padavare Karitabha means it is a Kankavajani. It doesn't tell Dukkata, but actually it is the steps, no? By
yes.
Taking it's called making the steps is Dukkata.
So actually, the translator translated as that. So he should be. So his offense is actually committed according to his steps. So that means that the first step is Turashaya, second step is Parajaya, like that.
Because then, what explains later? Bhumiyantapetva. If he puts on the ground and takes it, that is he falls into paradigm.
No. It says that.
Padavarinakara. Okay. Can be also.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That is a different case, no? Bhumiya Matabitva means to put in the ground and takes it again is Paraji. Okay.
他说那个他知道现然后他就改变自己想法把这东西拿走的话那他那个一起脚步是一起脚步是就是说那个一第一步是那个宿醉第二步是那个把巴拉吉卡然后还有一种情况然后他把这个他不是东西放下去他是想放在地上以后再不拿起来他提起来之后他又放了巴拉吉卡
So then, if people find out in the chout, is a robber, and they follow him, that's called, and he throws that away, and goes, that's called, throws away and goes away. Still, he has not found Bharati.
他说，如果这地方那个像那个一户多山上说的，如果有人把他追过来，就是说追他，他把他追过来。 因为他被他逃跑的过程中，把这东西给扔掉，他还不是巴拉提卡。
If the owners of that threat see him, see that bag, and they take it, still he is not Paraji.
Yes. This I have explained to them because it's in the translation.
This translation.
Yes.
They can read it.
Yes. This part.
Okay. Then, if another person takes it, it is because the owners lose that, then it's called compensation. He has to compensate for that.
他说，然后他逃跑过程中被人给抓了，那这个事儿，他就应该那个所得财物给予补偿。
So then, when the owners stop. They stop, and he sees this. The bhikkhu sees this, and he takes it with a, what's called, perception of discarded thing. Before the owner see me, I will take it. I will make him, or I will own it. So in that case, now it is again. He has to compensate for that because he causes the whole for the owners to lose this. To lose this bag or thread.
然后，比如说他被那个主人追，然后那个主人追不上他，然后他就想，好，这东西现在是我的，但是后来他最后还是被抓住了。那这个事儿他还是应该给那个主人以补偿。So
this is how bhikkhu may not fall into. Directly in Parajika, but he has to compensate for that because the owners lose it. So then, okay, we'll go. Right, the next is paticchanavahar. Paticchanavahar is called to steal by hiding an object.
然后下面讲这个隐藏取。我想问一下，这个隐藏取项取求取项，这个是什么意思？我肯定先等一下，等自己讲了取求取的时候，咱们问这个好吧？但下面这个隐藏取项。
No, that is wrong. Yeah. Right. There is also other examples about parikapavahara.
Yes.
Kajapana para parivena pavito kochulogane bandiswa gamba nika chetta bava parichadana kajapana. Right. There is also about space. Now about goods, we explained about space. It is a okasa parikap. So then. Now, if a monk goes to a monastery, and he sees something, desires much. So then, And he makes a demarcation. Demarcation that inside the room or the door, like that, he put some marks. And he tells, he thinks, if they see me within this area, I will take this as if I want to see it. This good. But if nobody sees me, I will steal it.
Okay.
So then, and the time he fulfills the condition. That time he becomes Paraja.
这个刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚刚
话，我就装成我只是在看这个东西。如果没有人看见我的话，我就把这东西偷走。那当这个条件满足的时候，他就犯了巴拉提卡。他犯了那个不是条件满足，并且他偷走的时候，他就犯了巴拉提卡。
So that case now, the monk can take this for example, like a valuable thing, and start looking. So up to now he has not found巴拉提卡. But because the condition, if nobody sees me, I will steal it, no?
Yes.
And he looks, now nobody steal, looks at me. And he takes and goes. That's because of Bharatika. He has already this in his hands, but still not Bharatika, because the condition is there. But the time nobody sees, he fulfills the condition that nobody sees, now I am going to steal now, he takes it and goes, that is the time he was Bharatika.
这个地方，这个再详细讲一下，就是说，然后他已经做了这个决议，就是说如果周围没有人看那个，周围没有人，如果有人看到我，我就专门在看这个东西，然后如果周围没有人看，我就把这东西拿走，然后他就真的在这里装模作样的这样看，然后他就开始看周围没有人，周围一看周围有人，他就自己在看，然后最后可能把东西放下，那就没有把垃圾看，但是如果他一看周围没有人，就一把这从他把这东西拿走那一刻起，就放了垃圾看。
那师傅那个什么，他当决议还没有拿的时候就已经放过了，当时他碰的时候就已经出狱，那就是说切走的时候就是那个法子。
He's asking that when he conspires to do this thing, he already forced him to do cut. And when he shifted this thing with that kind of desire, he already forced him to let it, according to his explanation. So he wants to check whether this is true or not.
So now, because the intention is in Kishinaudi, he puts the conditions now.
Yes.
He tells us such a man. So now, if you take anything with intention just to see it, okay, up to now a monk does not fall into offense, okay, but he takes with intention, I will see it, but if nobody sees me, then I will check my intention, I will see it. Up to the time he takes in his hand just to see, okay, as if seeing, pretending that he is seeing it, still the intention is just to see. As called not to steal it. Okay. The time he changed his intention, that is, we have to count the offense from that one.
他说这个地方应该分两个阶段来看，就是说他虽然那个做出那个决议，但是他这个决议是以条件决议，也就是说，就在他当满足条件的时候，他的那个动机才会真正连接到起的动机。在那之前，那个东西，在他那个在他不满足条件，就是那个条件满足之前，那个动机是不能看得到起的东西的。就还只是看作是那个看的东西而已。
So then we go to the paticcana, which is called how to steal by hiding things.
我下面讲什么叫隐藏取。
So then, here the example. Now the Gangavati tells examples in the park, the bhikkhu who goes in the park, and so forth, and he sees some ring or some valuable things which the people have put on the ground. So, and then he covers them with soil or with leaves, with the intention, I will come later and take it. So then, up to now there is no stealing. It's just only hiding. He puts a condition. Later I will come and take it. He has not taken it. Therefore it's not paradigma. But if the owners, they search for this item, and they do not find it, and they think, I will come tomorrow and see, and they go, at the time the monk goes and removes that thing which is hidden, and takes it, it is he falls into paradigma.
他说那个你像雪这样，比方说那个比库在棺材里边看见一个鸡鸡接着第二天，然后他故意拿那个睡着这些东西把它盖住，然后想等过会儿我再把这个东西拿走。但这个事儿他还没见，但这个事儿他还没那个，到这个时候，然后当那个物主发现这个东西丢了，然后过来找这个东西，没有找到，因为就比库藏起来了。但是这个物主会想，我们还没有放弃这个东西，因为还会再来一找。 这个事儿，如果说到第二天那个比库在那个比库是那个把这个那个树叶这些东西，你看把这个戒指拿走，让他把戒指拿走那一刻行，是成为八大金刚。Okay,
now by even by concealing it, but by covering it, that is by only doing this, it is dukkha offense.
他说这个事儿，那个其实你仅仅是把这个东西给覆盖住。
藏起来，就你已经犯了恶作。So then, the Gangavatara also explains that in the time he conceals it, he hides it, he thinks this is my property now. He thinks now the owners left, this is now discarded, and he takes with Panchukula Sanya. It is a compensation. Okay, compensation here because he caused the owners to lose this. You can explain this part also.
他是这样的，他说，比方说那个刚才他这个东西他把藏起来了，但是那个主人来找他，还没有找到。那么这样，他当时他藏起来是，如果是这样，是不是这个东西我要把它占为己有，或者说他藏起来是这样想的，那个他那个。 这个戒指可能是被主人扔掉的，那个这个戒指可能是被主人扔掉的，那个这个戒指一起之物，但是后来他看，但是后来他看到那个那些主人过来找了，那么但是而且那个主人当时还没有放弃这个东西所有权，那么在这个时候，这个比库应该归还这个戒指，就是说这个戒指对于这个比库来说是应归还之物。Okay,
and again there is another case of day of Ahara, Vanda day. If the owners, they come on the second day or third day, and then after searching, they can't find it. And they came in Duranike, but they give up the ownership, thinking, finish, we lost it. And they go away, again, it is compensation for them.
他说，比方说这个主人第二、第三天他又过来找。 但是又没找到，然后但所以这个主人看找不到，他就把这个所有权给放弃了。所有权放弃之后，如果在这个事儿那个主那个他把这个笔库把这个东西给捡了起来。 那他还是 in number， 这个戒指对他来说还是那个因归还之物。
If the owners they came to know later, and they blaming that you took our thing, and he does not give it. So if the owners give up the ownership, then it's parajika for that work.
然后后来这个主人就知道这个是比库这东西拿走了，然后去责备这个比库，然后这个比库还是不归还。当他以他这种行为，如果导致最后这个主人放弃这个所有权的时候，他就犯了巴拉吉卡。
The reason is because, by the monk's effort, they did not see this.
他说这个地方那个密斯比库翻译，因为他们不知道看见他的家庭。他说长老说这个地方是这样，是因为他的家庭导致这个主人看不见这个东西。所以说我们这是个比库犯了偷盗。因为这个比库所做的努力，或者说他的家庭这个地方发现的家庭，导致这个主人，看不到他那个是本来属于他所有的这个戒指，所以说我们这个说这个比库犯了偷盗。
So then, again, if Bhikkhu he sees, for example, this valuable thing on the ground. And he doesn't conceal it, but with his feet, he presses it for it to go on the ground. He presses it. Therefore, he makes the thing to move from this position. From the surface of the ground, he pushes with his feet to go under the ground, or in the mud, or in the sand. And that moment of that item entering the ground, the sand, and so forth, the mud, that monk goes parajika.
Same as Tanachala.
It's Tanachala.
He said, 最后一个情况，就比方说他看那个戒指之后，他不是拿什么树叶东西把这盖住，而是拿自己脚把这个戒指直接踩到土里边了。那这个跟前面说那个移动位置是一样的，就是说当只要他当他这个把这脚甚至把这东西踩到里边的时候，他已经犯了巴拉吉卡。跟前面讲那个把那个这个位置从这个地方到那个地方移开是一样的。
So now regarding kusavaha, how to steal by manipulating tickets. Tickets me as well, okay.
然后那个下面那个取手取，就是只是通过那个抽签分辨签的方式，从在这个里边做手脚来进行盗取，成为取手取。你说那个吉祥草在哪里看到的？
就取手取下面吧，就不是这。
确实哪有吉祥草，在哪里我没有看到。
48页，
48页是那个，
过号里面。
48页。那个。So he's asking what is the meaning of kusa?
Kusa is now, I explain, these are like lots.
Lots?
Yeah, lots. Now, usually, let's see if there is offerings in the monastery. So, the storekeeper puts ropes and bundles of water for things, and they put the name of Bhikkhu, for example, Bhikkhu Buddharakita.This is for Bhikkhu Buddharakita. And then he puts another bundle of offerings. He puts the name of it like for Bhikkhu Dhammarakita. And another bundle for Bhikkhu Sangharakita. He puts the name of all the monks. Or he puts numbers. Okay? The number and the name also. Or he puts only the number. So this puts a small sheet of paper or some like other material. Okay? All these things can be kusa.They are called kusa, tickets, or lots. It is your lot, is called, or slots, something like that, which indicate the name of the person who owns it. or puts a number like means. Again, therefore now, these monks, after they seen this kusa
mm-hmm.
on the bundle,
mm-hmm.
They know, okay, this is, who is Buddha Rakita? I am Buddha Rakita. I will take it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is supposed to be for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, on the other bundle, there is a sheet of paper. It says, Hodama Rakita.
Mm-hmm.
Or pay for the name.
Mm-hmm.
Put the name or the number.
Mm-hmm.
Or some symbol. That this is not for everybody, it is only for that particular bhikkhu.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore now these kinds of markers, lots and tickets, all they become kusas.
He said, 然后贴在相应的物资上
He sees that, okay, this is for Buddha Rakita, Dhamma Rakita, Sangha Rakita. But in his bundle,
mm-hmm.
He opens the bundle and sees that these things he got
mm-hmm.
are not much of much value.
Mm-hmm.
But the things Buddha Rakita got is much value.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, in order to steal,
mm-hmm.
he changes the kusa.
Mm-hmm.
He puts his name,
mm-hmm.
the kusa
mm-hmm.
of his name into Buddha Rakita's.
Mm-hmm.
bundle, and he takes Buddha Rakita's kusa and change it into Hindu's bundle,
mm-hmm.
into his bundle.
Mm-hmm.
This is how a way how to steal.
He said,
He does not change the goods, the bundles.
Mm-hmm.
He does not move the bundles from his positions.
Mm-hmm.
He only changes the tickets. Now, here the Kankavachan gives examples, no?
Mm-hmm.
If you read. So then, he tells that the kusa, which is on onchon bundle, or kotas means on onchon portion,
mm-hmm.
portion, he takes it from onchon bundle,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to throw it to another bundle. To another bundle.
Mm-hmm.
So then, the time he takes it, only by taking it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here, let me see, this is, how to tell this. Can you put, sheet of paper? I can give examples.
Okay.
Small. Two. Two kusas.
Okay.
Now, watch.
Mm-hmm.
This is for, let's see, this is for Buddha Rakita.
Mm-hmm.
It says name, Buddha Rakita.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for, let's see, for Sangha Rakita.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sangha Rakita wants to steal the watch
mm-hmm.
of Buddha Rakita.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he takes his own kusa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he sells Sangha Rakita, but he has Buddha Rakita. He takes this Sangha Rakita. The time he takes it,
mm-hmm.
because he wants to change it,
mm-hmm.
okay, still he has not found it Parajika.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he lifts it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Parajika.
Mm-hmm.
We can explain.
Mm-hmm. 然后银行他两个标签儿，嗯，比方说这个标签 A， 这个是标签 A， 然后他那个是给 A 笔户的，然后另外一个标签 B， 然后是给 B 笔户的。现在这个 A 笔户的，他分配到这个 B， 然后但是他不想要这个贝塔，要那个比库那个表，然后他现在那个计划通过换标签的方式来得到那个表，然后他第一步他是把这个自己的标签从自己的背上拿起来，但是当时自己把自己的标签从自己背上拿起来的时候，这个时候还不犯巴拉契卡。
No, if he puts it here, okay, he puts it in, still not Parajika.
他把自己的标签放在那个另外那个物品上，然后但是还没有动另外一个标签，这个时候也还不是巴拉契卡。
But then he takes the Buddharakitas, I call kusa, okay, ticket. By lifting it from the watch, lifting it, parajika.
但是当他从那个表上，把那个另外一个人表上从那个表上拿起来的时候，他就已经犯了巴拉契卡。
So if he takes the other way around, okay, he takes first Buddharakitas kusa, okay. He lifts it, still no parajika, okay.
So I can.
Again, he puts it into his own bundle, no parajika. By the time he takes his own kusa and removes it from here, it's still parajika.
他说顺序如果是反过来也是一样的，就是说，如果说他不是现在先拿自己的钱，而先拿别人的钱，他把别人的钱从这里能拿起来，不是巴拉契卡，放到别人的钱放到自己上面，也还不是巴拉契卡。但是他把自己的钱从自己东西上面拿起来的时候，这个时候变成巴拉契卡，就是不管你是什么顺序，都是在第三步的时候犯巴拉契卡。
Okay, this is how you can steal without moving the goods. You just move only papers. Only papers you move, you follow parajika.
这就是你如何就是虽然说你没有移动这些物品，但是只是移动这些纸片，你也一样可以犯那个parajika。
So now we'll see. The other words which explain this rule, which tell that if the monk steals and the kings and they punish him, either they beat him by hands or by weapons and they cut him, or they bind him with ropes, or they put him to jail, or they expel him, expel him from the country, from the city, from the district, like that, by telling that you are a robber, that you are foolish, you are diffuse, you are like that, all bad names. So that monk who has stolen any good, any of these items, which is the value of pada or padaraha, that's called, he falls into parajika.
张老师还给大家讲那个，现在那个25个方式已经讲完了，下面开始讲第51页内容。然后张老师把那个第51页内容，就是那个就如在不允许时，诸王可能打杀或可能保护可能诛出，然后那个跟那个赵一护杜特里边讲的给大家解释一遍。
Now we are going to explain what means pada and padaraha.
然后就是张老现在给大家那个解释什么叫那个一巴陀，或者是价值一巴陀。
Now the Kanka Vaitarin is about the purana kahapana. Kahapana means a monetary value which had been used in the Buddha's time.
然后他说这个地方跟你那个伊霍多特解释说是古钱的那个一巴陀，就是说那个。古代就是在佛陀时代，那个一般那个 一般投的货币的价值，
是不是一个金币？
他会讲，他马上就要讲这个。So he's asking whether one para is one gold coin.
One gold coin?
Yes.
So, let's see, do you know? First, we'll explain what kahapan is. Kahapan. Kahapanite is. It's a coin. Okay? That was a monetary unit which has been used in the Buddha's time. It is like a dollar from $1. Okay, let's say $1. In the States, it's $1. Then we have in India or Sri Lanka, ₩1.
Mm-hmm.
₩1. Mm-hmm. In China, we have?
Yuan.
Huh?
Yuan.
Okay. In Japan, we have yen, something like that.
Okay.
Now, this kind of it's called money.
Uh-huh.
They built up.
Uh-huh.
They are monetary units of the whole economy of the country.
Uh-huh.
So now, if you take a dollar, if you take a rupee, if you take a yuan, all these are divided into 100 cents.
Uh-huh.
100 cents into hundreds.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Therefore, 100 cents. Okay. Whether it is a dollar or a rupee, okay, they divide into 100 subunits.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 100 subunits.
Uh-huh.
So then, if we divide this into 4,
uh-huh,
okay, now here we have 25,
uh-huh,
25 subunits, here 25 subunits, here 25 subunits, here 25 subunits.
Uh-huh.
So therefore now, let's see, 25, 25, 50. Okay,
mm-hmm,
here 25, 25, 50.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore now, half, it is half a dollar, half a yuan, it is 0.5.
Kahapan.
Kahapan. Kahapan. Or
okay.
Kahapan. Like, kahapan is like that.
Okay.
In the same way it is, that's called half, okay? Now, in Pali,
mm-hmm,
that's called...
Purana?
Yeah, you can explain first.
Okay.
You can explain any monetary unit.
Okay.
What is kahapana,
okay,
or rupee,
okay,
or dollar, or yuan.
Okay.
Okay.
So the original Pali phrase of this word is pranaka kahapana, huh?
No, you can explain first.
No, because I want to check the
kahapana, yes.
Chinese translation, otherwise they don't understand.
Ah, yes, kahapana. It is pranaka kahapana. It is a old kahapana.
Okay. 张老师，他首先给大家解释一下这个地方。你看那个密西僧者翻译是古钱，对吧？张首先给大家解释什么叫钱。他说钱，这个地方钱就是指古代的一枚货币，相当于一个那个一枚货币。那这一枚货币，他说一般来说在古代一枚货币，它可以进一枚细分为一百个小的货币单位。比方说你在中国一块钱可以分为一百份，它这也是一样，它是一个货币，可以分这个进一步分为一百份。那在古代的话，你要把这个你要把这货币再进一步细分的话，你是切块。那你比方说，你先可以这样把它切成四块，那么这每个四分之一部分就代表二十五分，对吧？那么我如果你是切两半的话，那是上半半就是五十分，也就是0.5的货币，0.5钱，下半半也是50分，也就是0.5钱。
Okay, so the banks they use these monetary units in order to define the basic unit of the economy of the country.
Uh-huh. 然后那个就一般来说，一个国家的银行，假设那个银行，它通过这个货币单位来那个定义这个国家那个经济运行的最小单位。
Therefore, now in the banks, usually if you are in China, they will tell you, you have to pay 1,000 yuan.
Okay.
Okay. They will, if you're in America, you will tell you $1,000. In India, you will tell you rupees.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, now, the yuan, the dollar, the rupee,
mm-hmm,
are the monetary units.
Mm-hmm.
This one, you see, one kahapana, one rupee, one dollar,
mm-hmm,
and you have 100, you have 1,000, mm-hmm, you have millions, mm-hmm, like that. Because we count the unit, monetary unit, and then you can find how many monetary units, 100,
200,000,000,000 全是的。
他说这个东西你可以把它当成那个在中国那个元或者美国的美元，那就比方说那个在中国他让你交一笔钱，他会收500块钱、1000块钱，在美国他会收那个500美元、1000美元
这样的样子
就可以。
So now, if you take this monetary unit, okay, you divide into four. Now, if you take kahapana, one fourth of the this gold is pata.One fourth of that. So there is about 25 cents. Again, now, if you, one part, okay? Now, if you divide, this is 25, 25 cents, okay? So, and then, if you divide this by, let me see, if you subdivide this, now, one part again, it is 5 masakas.
So 1 masaka is 5 cents.
It means 1 masaka it is
5 cents.
It's 5 cents. 5 cents. If you multiply 5 by 5,
it's 25 cents.
Yeah. It's 25.
然后现在英国这股那个股权量七千四百分，然后那个每一股分是25分，然后这一个25分。就是一巴托，然后这一个巴托，你可以把进一步分成五个马沙卡，然后一个马沙卡就是5分，就是一个对于一个马沙卡就是对一个股权来说的5分，然后一个巴托就是对一个股权来说的25分。
Before you have kahapana, okay, and you have pada.
So, it's really 1/4 of it. And... You can't draw
another picture of 1/4.
Yeah, because here it's difficult to divide.
So then, and then you have... Oh no, this is straight, no?
Doesn't matter.
So then you have only this part...Stealing is called any valuable thing which is 1/4 of the kahapana. It is paradika forma. He does not need to steal the other 3/4, the value of the other 3/4. 1/4 of the kahapana, it means it's called paradika. This small value, alright?
如果说你是偷了这股权的四分之一，或者说偷了任何东西，价值相当于这股权的四分之一的这个价值。那就是巴拉吉法。
So then, this standard here is called, now, how is the value, the kahapana, how much it is. So, we have, from stories, it's called, you can see that, with one kahapana, there was a story in the first, when the Buddha prohibited bhikkhus to receive money, that is Nisargya Paricitta number 18. There is a story where bhikkhu, he went to the house of a layman who prepared meat to give to him. So, and then for his breakfast. And these people bought the meat in the night. They prepared it, intending to give it to the bhikkhu the following day. But in the night, the child got up crying that he wants to meet. And ultimately, the family could not, heartbroken, ultimately give the meat to the child. On the following day, the monk arrived, and the owner told, look, we're going to give the meat, but the child was crying, we could not give the meat. Then I will go with this kahapana, I will go and I will buy you meat from the shop. And the monk told, you already want to offer this kahapana, this is intended for me to buy meat. And the owner told, yes. And then, no need to buy meat, you give me the kahapana to me. So then, and ultimately the monk took it. This is how the story of this, this Sangipatina by 18 formulated. Now from this story when we can find out that actually you can buy the amount of meat, how much, I don't know, because now 100 grams, maybe 200 grams, but still one kahapane we can find, you can buy meat, okay. Mm-hmm. One kahapane we can buy meat, maybe 100 grams, 200 grams. You can buy a kilogram, of course, but person is not going to buy a kilogram for a month to eat breakfast. It goes to breakfast then. Okay. So then, let's see, 100 grams, which is normal, 100 grams or 200 grams of meat, okay, which is normal for breakfast. Eating 200 grams is too much. So therefore now, one kahapane for meat, it is just, oh, so it means 100 grams, 150 grams, it is one kahapane. But we have to count not kahapana, we have to count about pata, 1/4 of the kahapana.
Means 50 grams?
Yes, 50 grams or 25 grams is good enough to become a rather.
关于这个，那个一般那个就今那个就一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一个一
前一天晚上那个事主还是想吃肉，然后就哭着闹着我就一定要吃这个肉，最后没办法，这个事主把这个提前给这个比库准备好的肉，那个给他孩子煮着吃，然后第二天这个比库来吃早餐的时候就没吃到肉。没吃到肉呢，这个施主说，就我们这约好了给你吃肉的，结果你没有吃到肉，那怎么办？我这有一个5000，然后我拿这一个5000给你去买这么多肉，补偿就补偿你这一顿早餐，也补偿这顿早餐里边的肉。然后这个比库当时就说，你反正你也是拿这个钱给我买肉，你不是钱直接给我，我自己拿这个钱去买肉。然后这个他就接受了金钱，这个就成为那条街的这个直接姻缘。在这个地方，我们关注的是这一枚古钱的价值。从这个故事来看，说这一枚古钱的价值大概能让你买一顿早餐的肉。然后张老说的话，对于一顿早餐来说，你吃肉大概吃200块也就足够了。那这样的话，一枚古钱是200块的肉，那算的话一巴头四分之一也就大概是50克的肉。所以说你张老说，如果他认为你，比方说你偷的东西大概有50克肉的价值的话，如果超过50克肉的价值，基本上可以断定
50克
肉的价值。
50克，
对，50克左右，差不多，因为你不知道那一顿早餐肉到底要多少。
So now, but this story now, it is it's a story, and from country to country, the price of meat is different. So therefore, it's not a reliable way to judge. But you can understand that the amount is small, small amount.Not a big amount for a monk to become paranika. So that is one story. And we have other stories also from the Buddha's time about famines. During famine time, it's called the price of goods go up. Even a monk who has stolen grass, just simple grass, he fall into paranika during famine time. So then, therefore, only by stealing grass.Which is usually worthless other days, but the time of famine, that was become a valuable item. But still in grass or so forth, one month for the barrage. So therefore now, because it is very, it's nothing rigid about judgment, how to judge kahapana, how to judge the monetary value of according to time, place,Therefore now many Vinaya Acharyas, they can't keep direct answer. How a monk become Bharat? Can become Bharat? What is the value of a pan?
Because they also cannot judge what is the value of a
pan. But because now the things change, from country to country the value of goods is different and so forth. This is why actually it is very difficult to judge what means a pan according to modern standards. Even the Buddha's time also they were according to circumstance, the district you go, it's different.
So
但是说，刚说这种判断标准，他刚说这种判断标准，大家是知道一点，就是肉价，它也是随着那个时间、地点的不同而不一样的。所以说当时在那个国家那个肉价到底跟现在有没有可比性，这个不好说。另外一点，大家注意，比方说在那个绿象里边还有另外一个那个第二巴拉西卡里边还有另外一个故事，比方说在那个发生了饥荒的时候，一个比库因为偷草，变成巴拉西卡。所以说本来他说这是为什么？这是因为在那个饥荒的时候，那个草的价格上升非常高。又涨得非常高，本来草是个不值钱的东西，但是因为在饥荒时，所以草价格变得很贵，因为草变成垃圾了。所以说，因为这个，所以说是因为这种价格随着这个时间地点这个变动，许多那个教械老师他也没法断定一个巴托到底是多少，就因为这个原因，常常在这个第二巴拉西卡上，他没法判定一个人到底是不是犯了巴拉西卡。
The commentary, there are some sub-commentaries. Sub-commentaries who try to solve this problem with the value of gold. Okay. And we have two sub-commentaries who tell that 20 grains of gold.
20 grains, okay.
20 grains of gold. Gold can become a pada. Pada. But we have another, as for sub-commentary, who tells as for 40 grains of gold, a pada.
So then they tell the name of the sub-commentary because they
sub-commentary.
Yes, the name of sub-commentary because they know the Chinese name probably of the sub-commentary.
So now this, actually it is, there is one, subcommon is called Vinaya Vinicaya Tika. Vinaya Vinicaya Tika.
Vinaya Vinicaya.
But even the Vinaya Vinicaya tells, there was a compendium in Selanga, which called Samanera Panha, which was used for Samaneras.
Okay.
In that book, which is believed for Samaneras, it says that 20 grains of gold is a pada. It's called in that book. But then there is another sub-commentary who criticizes. What is the other sub-commentary? Mula. I can't remember the other sub-commentary. Who criticizes and tells that according to another book, Abhidhamma Patipika, which is a glossary, which is more authoritative book, it tells that one pada is 40 grains, not 20. So therefore now, according to these two sources, we have different opinions about gold, about the grains of gold. How much? 20 or 40. Okay. And their preference. Now, Prem Tanisaro, he takes 20. But I will tell you about Tanisaro later. But first explain this.
张老师，但是关于，所以因为像这肉价这种东西不可靠的，所以说在附注里边就有些附注试图解决这个问题，就是说一个巴托到底值多少的问题。然后他们提出解决方案是用黄金来那个度量这个巴托。然后有一本那个附注叫《绿财令》，《绿财令》这个附注文嘛，它取的是一巴托等于20粒黄金。但是《绿财令》它这个书里边它明确提到，就是说这个观点不是我的观点，它是。从那个斯里兰卡中世纪另外一本这本书当然已经遗失了，另外一本书叫什么那个上马连达达问的那个是上马连达疑的这样一个古书里边，那个有这么一种观点，说一个巴托等于20粒黄金。但是与此同时，另外一本附注就批判绿财令这个观点，他取的另一种观点就是一巴托等于40粒黄金。但是这本书他也说他的观点不是他自己的观点，是取古代另外一本书观点，说是一巴托等于40粒黄金。然后他说那个
，OK。Now there are some teachers like Tanisaro, who takes the 20 grains of gold, and he refers also to the, he also misquotes. He tells that this reference comes from Vimati Vinoda, which is wrong. It comes from Vinaya Vinicaya Tika.
Okay.
And again, which Vinaya Vinicaya Tika comes from Samanera Panha.
Okay.
He doesn't mention all these things.
Okay.
So, And he does want to mention also that he said you criticize, but not the sub-commentary. And this other sub-commentary gives more authoritative reference to Abhidhamma Patimikka, which is very well known book. Samanera Panha is not well known book, has been lost, we don't know the reference also. And why they take 20 grades, we don't know about Samanera Panha, why he takes it. So therefore, we quote the Abhidhamma Patimikka, which is more authoritative.
Did this book still exist?
Yes, Abhidhamma Patimikka is the most common glossary. It is the most ancient Pali glossary, which is based also on Indian books, on other glossaries, Indian books. They are more authoritative.
Okay.
Actually, it is well recognized by many scholars.
Okay.
And Taniso doesn't mention that even. So then, therefore now I'm telling you it is opinion, the opinion of teachers, opinion of writers. Nowadays it becomes like just opinions about this matter. What Pada is still an opinion.
Okay. 所以他说有些老师比方说那个著名的谭尼沙罗比丘他是比较倾向于一八陀的等于二十一法界那种观点他说但是他觉得读那个谭尼沙罗比丘把这个观点出处给引错了本来这种观点出处于那个律例裁定但是那个谭尼沙罗比丘把那个出处显成另外一个 然后他说那个还有一个问题就是一八陀等于二十立方斤这个这件这个说法他所依据那本书现在已经丢了已经遗失了我们不知道那本书内容是他为什么把一八陀定义为二十立方斤但是把一八陀定义为四十立方斤的这个附注他所依据那本书是一比是有关于阿毗达摩的书是阿毗达摩的一个附注这本书现在还存在现在还有 那当然，但是这本书应该说是，如果那个人在那个学者里边认可度比较高的一本书，他把这个一八陀定义为四十立方斤，然后谭尼沙罗也没有说一八陀不是等于四十立方斤，所以说现在这个就关于这个问题，就一八陀到底等于多少，显然取决于这个人个人不同的观点，到底你是去信哪一本书，还是去哪一种观点这样的问题。
So now, another thing is, controversial point is about gold, okay? Now, gold is not been shown by the commentaries that Kahapan is gold.
Okay. 还有一个问题就是说那个黄金这个问题也是个有争议的点，就是说不管是在律藏还是艺术里边，都没有提到一个古线是用黄金做的。 还是说一个古钱等于多少黄金？没有提这事。
So then, according to the commentaries, so then money which was made those days, it was maybe one
grams,
a small amount of gold. They will mix it with brass and copper, some other metals. Okay. So there was now, that is what actually coins will be made. It was not, the whole Kahapana was not gold. Because usually, the gold is very soft metal. If you don't mix it with other metals, you can't make it rigid, or make it a coin. It will bend. So those days we'll mix gold with other metals in order to make a coin. So then, how much gold, it differs from country to country, district to district, and the value of the Kahapa. So therefore now, to take gold as a standard to judge how much a pata is not also a reliable method.
他说，因为在艺术里边明确说到，就是说古那个在佛陀时代他们造那个钱。 绝对不是纯金的，就是它是用一小部分金，然后混合其他金属，比如说铜，还有其他一些金属混合在一起做成的。因为他说黄金这个金属，如果它纯的黄金的话是挺软的一种金属，很容易折。它纯金其实并不适合做货币，因为让货币变得坚硬的话，你一定要混合其他金属，所以核心才可以。所以说，如果说把一个巴陀或者一个古钱价值用黄金来进行定义的话，这件事情本身是值得怀疑的，因为。 各佛陀时代有很多国家，然后各国家他住的那个钱里边，那黄金的比例可能不同，所以说这个标准也是值得怀疑。So
again now gold, it is the value of gold it changes. even with single country.
Okay.
If you ask today, go to the central bank and ask what is available gold, they will give you a different figure. If you ask tomorrow, they will give you a different figure. So therefore now, it depends on the political situation, economic situation of the country, which also the price of gold, the value of gold changes.
另外一点，就计算计算一起黄金为价值，但是黄金价格它本身也是哪怕就在一个国家之内，它也是随着你这个国家是政治经济形势而变化的。你今天的黄金是一个价格，明天你的黄金可能是另外一个价格。
Up to now, the most reliable source of information where it is that panda is 1/4 of the carbon. Okay, we know this for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If we take carbon as a monetary unit, then whatever country we go, if we take a rupee, if we take a yuan, and divide into four, okay, and take 1/4 of that, okay, whether it's yuan, rupee, we take 1/4 of that. From that on, we can judge whether money is going to Paraguay.
That is obviously unfair. That is obviously unfair.
So then, that is at least one.I suppose. You can be unfair also.
Yes.
Because this can be unfair.
Because rupee is actually a very small unit. Compared with, for example, dollars and Chinese yuan, rupee is very, very small.
It's small, but you see, now this is according to the, like you see, it is small,
uh-huh.
But you see, the worker who works the whole day, he gets in a month, let's say, 6,000 rupees. Only 6,000 rupees is a small amount. If you regard for the Chinese man, a Chinese worker takes, an American worker takes. Now, 6,000 rupees a day, all it means a day, it is about 600 rupees a day. 600 rupees a day, it is not even half a dollar. Now, if you go into the, in America, a worker, he earns a day $20, $25. Okay? So therefore now, but he is a worker, he takes only half a dollar.
No, $5, $600 rupees,
huh?
$5.
$600, not $60.
$5.
Okay. So $5. So if you see the difference of salary, like you see how a worker takes in Sri Lanka, how in America, how in China, how in Japan, you can see that a worker in China or in America can't survive.$5 a day.
The other thing is that for example, the Sri Lankan rupee is a very small unit. For example, even now in Sri Lanka, you cannot buy anything with one rupee. Exactly anything you cannot buy. And also, actually, before I know in the old days, the Sri Lankan government actually divide rupees into cents. You have this smaller units like 25 cents, 50 cents. This kind of coins you have. But now they have abolished that. But now in China, if you use yuan,1 yuan, you can definitely buy something. In America, $1, you can get maybe a small hamburger or something. But so Sri Lanka, 1 rupee, what can you get? Nothing. And you said, yeah, you take 1 worth per rupee. What is that?
You see, the other way around, okay, it's not, you see, the Buddha told that about the Arataka mark, the forge for steels, as called, even a plate of grass, he is not a samana.
Okay.
He is not a Satyabuddha. Therefore now,What is the cost of one plate of grass? Okay. How a monk become a samana? How a monk become paragyapastima a plate of grass?
Okay.
So therefore now we must understand that as for panda can differ from country to country. Can have value, can might not have value. One fourth can be value. Even kahapana lose its value during famine. That's why that monk who stole grass, he fall in paragyapa. So therefore now,Kahapana or Pata can lose its value. During the Buddha's time, it's lost its value. Therefore now, I call it, there is no value in Pata also, like in a rupee. 1 rupee has no value. It's lost its value. But stealing, as a word, as called stealing something, as called steal, it is regarded as called something bad according to the meaning. They have to judge. In other countries, so forth, the same thing, you steal, the cup, myBut it costs a dollar. Maybe here doesn't cost a dollar. But I mean now, it is this area, it is a very disputable area. So therefore, many teachers can't give a direct reply. They can reply, but whether a monk falls to Parajika, but still in this item or the other item, as well. They're judging with very high prices. If it is, for example, the high price is 100 rupees or like that, that some they tell maybe parasite. But about how about 50 rupees? It's not parasite. Mm-hmm. How to judge it? If it's 5 rupees, it's not parasite. Mm-hmm. How to judge it? Mm-hmm. So therefore, now I'm telling you, so then it is very disputable area. But one standard rule you know for sure is actually, if you define it like this, you have to take one fourth of your monetary credit in order to judge. In some countries, that part that is lost, I suppose, that is lost its value. Mm-hmm. Like in the Buddha's time, during famine time, the kahapan itself lost its value.
Yes, yes.
So they want to, but the people who installed it, grass, and so forth, they want to. So therefore, this is very disputable area. I'm telling you, therefore, if you want to take decisions, to be careful for monks, not to steal. Uh-huh. What is the my message is, not to try to steal even...
One-fourth unit. One-fourth of the monetary unit of that country.
Not to steal anything, I suppose. Which, to avoid to steal anything at all.
Okay.
That is it, because it is, that is my message, you know, to try to understand oneself, not to steal anything at all, because it depends on the situation, it depends on the teacher who is going to judge you, it depends on the people who are going to judge you. Another thing is called, you might feel remorse, because you might not get the answer itself. Mm-hmm. It is a torture, I suppose, to know that you can't get the answer, proper answer. What is the value of this, what is the value of that, what I've stolen, what I've become parasitic. Therefore, it's a torture today. My message is try to restrain from this stealing completely.
Okay. 对，所以说一个货币价值即使在复苏时代也是可以变的，而且我们不要弄，如果把这一个货币，如果把这个货币就等同现在的货币的话，那可能在不同国家一个货币的价值不一样。你比方说斯里兰卡卢比价值跟一卢比价值跟一美元价值，这是没有办法比较的。所以说那个，所以说这个，所以说最后你判，所以说最后的实际操作中判断你是那个是判断你是不是因为偷盗而犯了巴拉西卡的话，它可能就取决于你那个地方那个地理老师他是什么样的观点。他对这个问题是什么样的观点？那所以说，这个大长老对大家建议就是说，对于偷盗这个东西，应当是完全禁止，因为你只要你犯了这个东西，你只要你犯了这个，因为实际上你没有办法你判断你到底是不是巴拉西干，你会一直受到诋毁的折磨，你会不停的怀疑，不停的追悔，然后你就会不停自己折磨自己。所以说有些这样，所以说大家不如彻底断绝偷盗这个事情，这样的话就不会有任何疑问。
Okay, now this rule is finished, no?
Yes.
If you have any question, you can ask tomorrow, of course. There is no any. Okay.
啊，这样我们那个第二八章就讲完了。但如果关于这条题，大家还有什么其他问题，明天还可以再问。我看完说完他们。
是的，对。
玛雅卡塔布尼亚萨维纳努摩提塔巴。
是的，是的。
Sāvina kataṁ puñyam mahiṁ dattabha Sādhu sādhu namodāmi Okāsatāra tīne kataṁ sabbhamacchayam kamatme vṛtti
Sādhu namodāmi Sūryotara, vidukurutara, varabhacchayam